Hi, I'm Paul, and this is Heart of Glenanus, a program about the cultural and service organisations around your town and in the region. So I'm sitting here at the top of Stanley Stones Hill. I've just watched an uprising being vanquished, and I'm sitting with the victorious King and Queen, Jeremy Wilson, the President, and Linda Frame, the Treasurer of the
New England Medieval Arts Society.
Beautiful.
Or NEMIS.
Cool. So you've been coming to the Celtic Festival for a fair few years?
Yes, Adam Caffarella here, who's at the table with us as well,
yes,
could probably tell you a little more about the origins of coming to the Celtic Festival.
Yeah, so in 98 we started coming up here, at a spot just a bit further over there. And we've been coming here ever since, basically, on and off. A couple of times they've got other reenactment groups to come, and then the next year they always ask us back because, I don't know, we're lovable Vikings, that we're friendly, we invite people to our camp.
And they've already booked us for
and
next
we do fun,
year.
Oh, we do fun shows too. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We do with the reenacting, but the shows are fun.
Yeah. And you camp at the top of the hill here?
Yes.
We camp here for the weekend and... Yeah.
Feast.
Eat, drink, and make merry on the hill.
As you can see by the spread on the table here,
we
like to eat well while we're here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our beautiful cooking fire there.
Yeah, all our beautiful fire cooking with all our. We have tradesmen make all of our cooking utensils, our
artisans.
Cauldrons, artisans.
And I saw some tools as well.
Our tables, our tents, everything that we have is made by different trades and artisans within the reenactment historical societies that we know.
Well, the village, your village looks fantastic. There's about four or five different types of tents, and they all look fantastic. And so tell me a bit about the club itself and the gathering. I've just learned about something called the gathering.
So our club hosts the biannual Easter gathering, which is held every 2 years. It's the largest reenactor only event held in the Southern Hemisphere. And it's fairly unique setup because unlike the open events to the public that we host here, we have a space in the Armidale Pine Forest where we spend the 4 days of the Easter long weekend living as if we were in the Dark Ages. No modern conveniences, and or as few as possible to make it accessible to everyone who wishes to partake. And we 2 weeks ago we celebrated our 30th anniversary of that.
Okay, so you started at the same time, more or less, as the
festival. I might just jump in here. Richard Robinson came to Armidale in 86, to go to university. And he came from a group in Sydney called AMIS, which is the Ancient and Medieval Martial Arts Society. And in the mid-semester break, he went home and complained to all his friends in Sydney he had no one to play with. And they said, well, start your own club then. So when he came back, he did in July. And they had the first three people founded the club in July, declared themselves the New England Medieval Martial Arts Society. I joined in the following February in 1987. About a year later, we took out the marshal and decided we wanted to be more encompassing. We didn't want to just be boys with tin hats banging each other on the head. So we called ourselves the New England Medieval Arts Society. So that's why we pronounce it NEMIS instead of NEMAS, as many people do. So you can always tell a local because they call us NEMIS. Now, on that, after that, in 1992, we had another guy had joined from the Varangian Guard, Peter Trace.
Yeah.
And me and Peter Trace and Richard went out to Pine Forest and selected a place to invite their friends up from Sydney to have a winter campaign. And when we were there, a couple of the guys said, look, there's this medieval conference that they have every 2 years. He said, on the off year, you guys do something here, we'll bring 50 people. And that was the first gathering in 1992.
And now we're bringing 600 people to our forest.
Susie told me that people come from all over.
New Zealand,
Norway.
Europe.
We've had people from Norway.
Western Australia, South Australia.
Across Australia, yeah.
And currently from Townsville as well.
Yeah. So over those 30 years, it's just grown and grown and grown.
Yeah. It's sometimes we feel like it's sort of just getting too big for us. Mm-hmm. So now it's invitation only.
Fair enough.
Through the reenactment world. Mm-hmm. We used to open it to public invitation, but it's changed now that we can't get that big.
Well, there's some others like Lithgow, I think, is a public one.
Yes, and this is public. So the gathering is a reenactment. So it's through the reenactment societies all over Australia and out to the world. We welcome everybody.
So you're based in Armidale?
Yes.
And is this as far as you go, Glen Innes, or do you go to other places?
So we'll regularly head up to Caboolture for the Abbey Medieval Festival.
Okay.
We headed down to St Ives in Sydney for the St Ives Medieval Festival. Earlier this year, we headed to the inaugural event at Orange for the first Orange Medieval Fair. We also fairly often go down and join our sister club, the Lith, in Lismore for their Viking Winter Village Solstice.
The medieval scene is obviously growing.
It is. There's always... there's more and more interest growing amongst the community. Probably largely due to accessibility information through internet and television shows, where historical television shows have become more and more popular. But people come in and just go, that's exciting, I've seen something like that. And they are getting just... At Orange it was fantastic, because there was nothing like that had been out there in sort of the central western area. And there was quite a big turnout for people who were just either really interested in the history or just went, that's something cool, we'll just pop in and have a look at that.
And we often have people inquiring because of their own history and ancestry.
Their heritage.
Yeah, the heritage. And so they want to talk to us about how we got involved and how can they get involved. And I think with all the TV series and the movies and all the things now, people are starting to look more at what we're doing.
There is some long-running events that have been well attended over the last 30 years, the Abbey Medieval Fair being one, and our gathering, which is really about the movement, so it's fully immersive, unlike the Abbey, which is multi-period and really basically for the public, similar to the Standing Stones Festival. And a lot of reenactment groups like us, we come to events like this and we make our presence there and we become part of that, and the public talks to us and interacts with us. When we do the gathering, it's like we keep everybody away and it's only reenactors, totally immersive, and it's amazing.
And it's just that period.
So the other term for what we do with the historical reenactments, living history. So we, at those public events, we're there as a living history display. This is a tent that would have been in this period of history. This is a weapon. This style of sword was used from this year to this year. The spread on our table, these are cheeses, fruits, cures, pickles that would have been available. And we try and make it as all-encompassing as possible, so when people in the public come and actually have a look at what we're doing, they go, we can say, this is what would have been a typical spread on the table in this time period, and this is how you would have seen a man fairly typically dressed in a fairly well-to-do role.
We had a stew, just here, there's a little bit of it left there. It's beef, it's been cooked for a long time in apples and dates, and then cinnamon and things like that. So,
and
we were talking about apricots, and we were talking about last night that this dish is probably the origin of the mince pies that you get now, but they've got rid of the meat and it's only fruit, because modern people don't like to have fruit and meat together too much.
Tastes like a Christmas pie.
A Christmas mince pie.
Those Christmas mince pies, they would have had been meat, but they've still got suet in them, which is a meat pie.
And also, we have a lot of artisans, talented in, like, musicians, embroiderers,
blacksmiths,
painters,
carpenters, dyers, weavers.
Yes, and you can see just as when you walk around our campsites, we're all showing off these different skills, and you also see Jamie playing on his harp and singing stories. And through the night, we were told beautiful sagas of the gods. So there's just so much happening, so many things that we're involved in.
It's full of inquiry and culture.
battling in the tents and things. Yeah.
Which is the exciting bit. I mean, it's fun, but... Yeah. So
a lot of the time, that's the hook. People come and look at the bash and the crash and the clang.
The clubs who are only focusing on that are often short-lived and don't have as much richness and direction and longevity as clubs that have lots of art. And people who are doing things and tanning and inquiring and saying, oh, I saw this recipe in some book, I'm going to give it a go.
You're listening to the heart of Glen Innes.
There's a wonderful thing where you have the people come in to fight because they've seen that, and but as they sit in there amongst the people who have been in it for longer and are passionate about the history, they start to get more, they build up a passion about the history and they go, oh, okay, so I want to explore this. Mm. And they learn about their gear and what their focus is, and it gradually passes down to as more and more generations come in and
yes,
pass
and
it on.
We have to learn how to make our own clothes because you just can't go to a shop and buy what we do.
Yeah. Or so, you get good at woodwork and you swap stuff.
Yes.
Ah, so that's definitely in the category of living history. Then.
And barter
you have
is really
a
big.
Living trade and a
yes.
historical trade.
And weaving your own wool and spinning and all the beautiful you'll see on a lot of our clothing, especially the women and our men, we love to celebrate them and embroider their stories. And that's what you'll see on the tents over here, because that's the way they would do their storytelling, to share things.
So you, as a club, you seem to be at the crossroads between the fun fighting and the academics and the artisans, and a really lively, rich scene, as Adam said.
We feel quite blessed with we're a clan, and we've all come together from all different worlds.
We have a very diverse, we have a very diverse membership. Whereas we'll have academic professors amongst us, we'll also have
artists,
farmers, tradesmen. There's more
accountants. We have accountants.
It's this lawyers. The entire thing. It's this massive background.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a singular group of people that come in with the same background, same interest. It's a incredibly diverse background, where the only thing that's required is an interest and a passion about history.
And it looks like you're getting your next generation. Up the hill there's the Children's Arena.
Oh, yeah. We've had
with
twice.
The Sergeant having Major. A great time yelling at them.
We have young people come in who want to know how they can get involved in becoming a part. We had a lovely young lady and a friend, and then, you know, we just show them how they can become a part of us, and we welcome them to come and do things with us. So.
And at this point, the club's multi-generational. There's some members in the club who attended their first gathering as a 8-week-old baby, who are now looking at bringing their children into the club.
Adam?
At the gathering, one of the things that I often do over the is build a bonfire. And so for years now, I get all the teenage kids and the little kids, they put the straw in, they get the tent, we get all the rubbish wood we want to get rid of, and we build a huge bonfire. And I teach them how to do it. It's like, you can't just throw it on, you've got to put it right. And then they get back to see this thing that gets 3 times higher than it is, and like a blowtorch. And so now we've got kids who have been doing that, and they send it, I'll go and help build a bonfire. And it's a kind of...
Yeah, and the bonfire is to do with we on our Sunday evening of our Easter gathering. We celebrate the monarch of that festival because every 2 years we choose we honour a member.
A worthy member.
A member.
Gets to be glorified for a year.
And they're the monarch of that festival. So everything is about... glorifying them, telling their story, and celebrating who they are within our club.
It's better than a birthday, isn't it?
It is. It's a pretty special. You only tend to get that once in your life rather than every year.
We have the feast, and we have some kind of
a fire show
that we've created over the weekend with people interested. Often the younger people are involved in that.
And some of the older
people.
Tell
that story, and at the end of it, we light the bonfire. And it's something we do every time, but it's every time it's slightly different.
While everybody sits on at the longhouse.
And we put a feast on for all the attendees. We put on a feast with a few beasts on the spit and stews and...
We don't cater because at our event people bring their tables like we have, they set all their stuff up, and they want to, they bring all their food, and they make their own booze, and they just want to do it in the atmosphere. And so we put on one feast on the last night to bring us all together and say thank you for coming and to be hosted. You know?
And that's the Sunday night.
And that's the
yes,
Sunday.
And did we mention that we build a longhouse in our pine forest as well every year? We build an authentic longhouse with a tavern. We have a licensed for the weekend and we serve ales and mead. And then that's what we all sit in front of
For the feast.
For the feast, to watch the fire show, the story. So the fire show begins with a story which children and different artists are in, which is the completion, is the bonfire that Adam's talking about.
Brilliant. And you mentioned earlier there's a specific period that you concentrate on.
So we... Well, Nemesis is a multi-period group. We sort of have covered everything all the way through from ancient Greeks, Romans, through to the 15th century. So we're, our primary focus, when we go away to these events where we're paid, we focus on the Anglo-Saxons of England, and primarily what's referred to as the Middle Saxon period, which is from the end of the 6th century through to the end of the 8th century, which ties in when people have got a lot of interest in Vikings. The Middle Saxon period ends with that famous Viking raid on Lindisfarne Monastery. That's that's the marker that actually marks the end of the Middle Saxon period.
But that's what you're doing here.
Oh, this one we're a bit more open-end. As you pointed out, there's several different sorts of tents. Where you see the A-frame tents, yes. They're a much more Danish influence, so they actually come from Viking influence that came into Anglo-Saxon in what's referred to as the later Anglo-Saxon period, which ends with the Battle of Hastings in 1066.
So this encampment you could see is maybe, if you were to try and place it in history, might be more in the middle of the 8th century, in the middle of Danelaw, where you'd have Saxon
more influence.
Saxons with Viking mercenaries hanging in one camp doing their thing. So there was a lot of crossover during that period.
So I guess there's only so much cyber and virtual things people can do, and there's a real attraction to stuff that's visceral and real.
That extreme contrast is one of the big things that actually draws people in. It's whereas everything becomes so digital and so electronic, there's that temptation to just completely swing the other way, where it's like, phone, nope, out.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's why the attraction of your groups is
you
to
hold on to stuff,
go the other direction. Yeah.
And you can see a fire set up with all sorts of cooking gear you don't normally see, almost like a stove. It's like, oh, well, it's not just a barbecue. You know?
There's a real happiness to being able to get away from our modern world we don't forget about it, we're aware of it, but we get to have a break from it.
Yeah, and it definitely is
escaping.
Well, thank you guys. Thanks for letting me sit at your table.
Thanks so much to Jeremy, Linda and Adam from the New England Medieval Arts Society, who talked with me at the 2022 Celtic Festival. That last piece of music was played by Jamie, a club member, on his Celtic harp. This has been The Heart of Glen Innes, a program about the cultural and service organisations around your town and in the region. Thanks for listening.